Let's pray if it's decent enough. I don't want to bore you. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us about, well, the living of life and the exercise of patience in our life, especially at times when we need it. And I ask that you would bless the message and give it some legs by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about patience. This is hope is the first candle in Advent, and to have hope, you better have patience. And did you know that exercising patience is good for you? Now, that scares most of us right off. We've learned that anything that's good for you is usually unpleasant, or it's difficult, or it's dull, and like, eat your spinach, it's good for you. Brush your teeth, it's good for you. Exercise regularly, it's good for you. Study hard, it's good for you. Go to church, it's good for you. And things like this. So we're usually not really interested in anything that's just because it's good for you. Especially exercising the fruit of the Spirit known as patience. But patience is good for you. And it's important that you have it. This is the first Sunday in Advent. And actually, part of what we do at Advent is we wait for the second coming of Jesus as well as waiting for Christmas. Every year at this time, we play a waiting game. As we remember the birth of Jesus, we look forward for the second coming. So let me ask you, what are you waiting for? Waiting requires patience. And I'd like for us to read together James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11, and see what he has to say about patience. So here we go. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble, brethren, against one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call those happy who were steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. If you notice, patience is mentioned four times in this scripture, and patience involves a kind of quiet acceptance, and that's coupled usually with endurance and waiting. And James says we are to be patient as we wait for the second coming of our Lord. Just as a farmer plants seed, then he waits for the rain and finally for the harvest, and we're to be patient in our waiting. Our problem is we don't like the self-discipline that is involved in waiting. We're always trying to rush a situation and help it along. A woman was driving past a small church in the mountains in one of the poorest parts of the country in West Virginia, and when she saw something which made her pull over to the side of the road and stop. In a small graveyard beside a church, there was this young woman, and she was kneeling and carefully placing clumps of sod on a new grave. And the woman stepped from her car, and she went over to the woman, and she put her arm around her, you know, kind of hoping to console her, and she said, "Your husband?" And the woman nodded. She said, "You must have loved him very much," said this tourist. And the young woman stopped long enough to look up and say, "You know, before my husband died, he made me promise him I wouldn't have nothing to do with any man until the grass had grown completely over his grave. And up here ain't hardly nothing grow less if you don't help it." None of us play that waiting game very well. We're mostly impatient instead of being patient. We could say, "I can't wait until I'm 18, and I can be out on my own, and I'm my own boss. I can't wait till I leave home and be on my own. I can't wait till the baby comes, or I can't wait till retirement, or I can't wait until I get a new car or house or job or spouse, etc., etc. I can't wait until I can go on vacation. And we are like children in our lack of patience some of the time. One family used to spend its summer vacations in the mountain, but it usually took about 8 hours to get there to where they usually went. And so one summer, the mother warned the youngest daughter. She said, "Don't ask me how long it's going to take. Don't keep saying, 'Are we almost there?' Don't do that to me." So they drove the car, and for about 4 hours took place. The little girl finally could stand it no longer, and she leaned over her mother's shoulder and says, "Will I even be alive when we get there?" When we're born, it's now or never. As babies, we want to be fed right now. We have no conception of later or waiting. A baby demands feeding immediately, or the diaper being changed, or attention right now. And as we grow older, we still work ourselves into a dither, you might say, because we're impatient about things in this life. We have a hard time from birth to death, just all waiting on things. Waiting gives us high blood pressure. We strive at waiting. We try to crowd all kinds of activity into our lives, our waiting times, our social life, our parties, our busyness of some kind to keep us busy while we're waiting. Our whole way of life promotes a lack of patience, actually, and crazy activity, especially with all this technology we have today. You know, cell phones and texting, and it's a lot different than what we used to do in terms of at least going to a phone, picking it up that's in the wall. Now we have all kinds of speed dialing and speed things that so we can devour more words per minute, you might say. We have instant foods and drinks. We have fast food restaurants. We have drive-in banks. Even out in the Southwest and then in Florida, they had for a while, I don't know if they still do this, but back about 20 years ago, I remember this. Funeral homes had drive-up windows in the Southwest where you could view and pay respects to the deceased from your car. You could sign the book there. You could hear the subdued music and be out of there in a couple minutes, all on the way home from work. Rising young business people cultivate impatience in their fast-paced lives, along with the ulcers that you can get ahead in the rat race that we're in. We have all these things. Our children have this same rush fever, busy fever. They can't wait. But children haven't changed. They can't wait until Christmas to open their presents. They can't wait until high school to drive or to be able to date. They can't wait to have a girlfriend or boyfriend, or these days have sex or get married and have a kid. And then the kid grows up and can't wait to get married either, and can't wait to get a new job and all these kinds of things. And we just can't wait. And there seems to be a drive that we want to be paid big salaries quickly rather than working through it. And James says, wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. What are you waiting for? Wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. Now, there's no doubt about it happening. It makes no argument for it here, nor does it try to prove it. If you name Jesus as your Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life, then there is within the context of the Bible the second coming, and it will be a day of triumph and victory. But for most of God's people today, we're not waiting for the second coming. We don't even think about it. There's one thing which we can wait, can wait for, and that is the second coming. We can be very patient because we aren't so anxious for it to get here, for Jesus to return. But the early Christians, they looked forward and longed for the appearing of the Savior to come again, to finally see him returning, to be able to see him coming in glory meant everything to them in terms of their lives. So James wrote here, he said, be patient, for the coming of the Lord. And that was the second coming. In our lives, there's a certain sense in which we hit the sweet spot. You know, we're born in the right century, and we are actually born in the right country, because you can be born in the right century and miss the right country. But we're not kind of like them. We aren't persecuted like they are in a lot of countries. We've had the good life here. Most things are going our way. Therefore, it's almost tragic, but the truth is that the second coming of Jesus is just about the only thing that we are patient in waiting for. Patience is a part of God's character, though, and Christian patience has in it, therefore, besides endurance and waiting, the quality of expectation or waiting for something to happen. And one of the things about Advent is this is a time when we wait for something to happen. Patience is not a passive word either. It's not just being resigned to a long spell of waiting and just sitting down and hoping for something to pass. Patience carries with it the aspects of our faith and our hope. You've heard of the patience of Job. You've got to remember him, but if you haven't read the book, Job had great riches, and in one tragic moment, his sheep, cattle, servants, children, and all his wealth, even his health, was taken from him. He resented what happened to him. He feverishly questioned his so-called friends when they suggested his troubles came from him being a sinner. He agonized over the thought that God might have forgotten and forsaken him, but Job never lost faith. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He had faith in even the presence of death. And you couple with that, his faith was his hope. He expected God to come to his rescue. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And he walked in patience through his affliction with faith and hope, which were the two companions that he really walked with. Even his wife said, "Curse God and die." But he walked in faith. Patience calls for us to slow down and not be in such a hurry. One day, a class of second graders was discussing what they wanted to be when they grew up. And the teacher received their usual replies, a fireman, nurse, doctor, lawyer, policeman, a pilot. And she asked one boy, who appeared to be thinking deeply about it, what he would like to be someday. And he looked up and he said, "You know, I don't even know what I want to be for Halloween yet. Let alone when I grow up." Patience is a waiting game, but it's also a lively, outgoing power of faith. Patience may wait, but it waits with an active energy. Patience is not just sitting down and doing nothing. Patience walks in faith, and it knows that with divine help is on the way. It may not know when, but he knows for sure. James, in writing this, he points to the prophets, and they are examples of patience in suffering. Patience suffers patiently. I've been around people who have suffered over the years, and they've had to have patience to suffer through it. The Bible is full of people who suffer with patience. Joseph was put in prison for 2 years for a crime he didn't commit. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit to die of starvation. Moses waited 40 years for the Lord to redeem his situation. Abraham waited 12 long years for Isaac to be born. Noah worked 100 years on the ark. Patience in suffering is not so easy. We don't like pain. We don't like the pain of problems or injustice, which isn't fair, or the face the difficulties in life, we often cry out, "How long, O Lord, how long do I have to endure this?" The answer usually comes back with silence, but sometimes it comes back with "as long as it takes," or it may be "shortly," or maybe we're like the little girl on her way to the mountains. "Will I even be alive when we get there, Lord?" There are some patience in suffering that really does wait for the second coming. with a victory in the afterlife. Some things are very final in this life. They can only be lived in patient suffering. In the mountains of North Carolina, there stands a little Episcopal church, and the Grimshaw family was one of the first families to move into the area. Four little girls were born to them over an 8-year span, and however, in 1888, a diphtheria epidemic struck. The father was away on business. The church was closed for the winter. There was no doctor in the area. On October 1st, little 4-year-old Olive died. On November 3rd, Bessie, age 7, was taken. Helen, 2 years of age, died on November 5th, and she was followed by her sister Mary, age 6, on November 7th. The four daughters died in 34 days. In her husband's absence, Mrs. Grimshaw built rough caskets herself. She dug the graves herself. She read the burial prayer over each of them, and the graves are still marked to this day in that cemetery, in that church. Inside the church, there is a baptismal font given by the parents to the church. In spite of their loss, their suffering, their faith stayed strong and tough. And engraved on the rim of the marble font, which was a monument to their faith and to their children and to their suffering in patience, are the words, "I thank God for every remembrance of you." I know this: sickness, disaster, misfortune, trouble come to all of us. Life impartially gives them to all of us in some form or fashion, sooner or later. Life is filled with the crosswinds of adversity. But we all have a choice as to how we are going to meet those times in our lives. We all choose how we are going to deal with any suffering that comes our way, whether we do so in despair or whether we do in hope or with faith or with patience in terms of the eternal redemption of things. Patience also waits for prayers to be answered. Now, I know this. I'm thankful that God hasn't answered all my prayers. But all of us pray for things. Things we desire in life. Then we wait for God to answer them after we have carefully told him size and color, that we have to have it by next Tuesday at noon, or else it'll be too late. And how easy it is to get impatient with God because he doesn't jump at our call. But we've all had prayers. And when he doesn't fit into our schedules or answer our prayers our way, a lot of times we get a little bit agitated with God. One time a grandmother was walking along a beach with her grandson, and a big wave came in and swept the kid right into the water, carried the child right into the sea, and the grandmother fell to her knees in sudden terror, and she started to pray, and she said, "Lord God, send the boy back to me." At that very moment, another huge wave came in, and the boy comes crashing in right beside her and dumped the boy on the bush. She looked him over thoroughly, and he was okay and all that, and then she peered in the sky and in a huff said, "You know, when we came here, he had a hat." And I don't know about you, but I have met people and I probably have prayed like that or talked to God like that. You know, we don't get the answer we specify. We become very impatient with waiting on God and we want to take matters into our own hands. And there are times that we need to just wait with patience for God to answer our prayers. And the delays of God may be necessary reminders to us that God is God and we're not. God may be trying to get us out of our own little kingdoms where we think we rule supreme and into his. And Jesus reminds us that the life is like a harvest, like gardening. It takes time. And the timing on many things is in God's hands. And it's better in his hands than in ours. You know, we have a lot of farms around here. It includes first preparing the ground with plow and disc and harrow, and then fertilizing the soil, finally planting it. But even then, it still has to be cultivated. And then you have that wait that begins, and corn may be planted in May or June, but you don't harvest it until September or October. Patience is about waiting and working and finding the proper balance between the two. There is a time to pray and a time to put legs on our prayers. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting, the creator to the ends of the earth. One of the classic promises of patience is in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31, and I would like for you to read it with me. Here we go. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Don't worry about getting answers to your prayers immediately. God hears you. He will answer. He will do it in His time when it is best and good for you. So wait for Him. Be patient. His answers are always worth waiting for. Sometimes He answers them, no. Sometimes, wait. Sometimes, yes, immediately. What we need is patience, and we need it right now. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes about the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are not something that we groan and struggle and finally attain ourselves. Fruits always come from roots, and they're the fruits of the Spirit, and the Spirit is working in our lives, and they are produced like the fruit of a tree. They grow in time. They only get harvested when they are ripe at the right time. And the fruit of patience is ours. It's harvested as we wait for the harvest time in terms of our prayers. The fruit of patience is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who grows it in us through waiting. Jesus was patient. He was patient with the blundering disciples. He was patient with sinners. Isn't it good to know of Him that He was patient and has been patient with us? Especially with our impatience of Him as well. His time on the issues of our life is always perfect. You know that person's prayer, Lord, make me patient, do it right now, is not as ridiculous as you would think. Because sometimes we need that patience right now because it is a fruit. So as we go through Advent this year, this is a time of waiting. And you can watch kids do it, and we get wait too because we have things, you wait in traffic lines and everything else. But ponder this, we wait for the Lord in terms of His coming into our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would speak to all of us today in ways that we understand as individuals. And that through that speaking, You would give us a sense of living of these days and the living of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.